Hey guys, welcome to our channel. My name is Pastor Sam and I'm so happy that you have tuned in today. It's 2025, can you believe it? We are here. But in this year, we are expecting more and more from God. In Psalm 115 verse 14, it says, "The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children." So this year you can expect more glory, more power, more faith. Come on, guys, more anointing, more of God's goodness in your life. Expect miracles, expect breakthroughs, expect stubborn areas of your life to shift and change. Not only you, you and your children, the entire family comes along for more and more. Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles over to Proverbs chapter 3. Let's stay standing. We're going to read quickly. Proverbs 3, we're continuing from last week. And this is called Stomp on Mammon. Stomp on Mammon. Amen. Part 2. All right. Proverbs chapter 1. And we're going to read all the way down to verse 10. And then we're going to get ready and I'm going to teach you for a little while. Proverbs 3. We got it? Now let's put it up on the screen. Amen. Hallelujah. Guys, remember Wednesday night service comes up this week. Our first ever. Please all try to be here first. There's a blessing in the first. Amen. All right. It says, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my what? Commands." That's God saying something to us, and he desires for us to obey. Amen. "For length of days and long life and peace they shall add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. And so find what? So find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." So if you obey God and you keep his commands, there is a blessing that follows. There is a blessing that follows. And how he said you must do it, he says, bind them around your neck. You know, meaning keep it close to you. Don't let the commands of God be far, but keep it close to you. Amen? So you're going to have favor with God and with man. You're going to have honor or high esteem with God and with man. Let's go to 5. This is where we're going to pick up. Trust in the Lord with how? All your heart. Tell somebody, all your heart. You know, as Sister Hunter was speaking, I felt like she loved all of us with all her heart. Yes. Right? If you didn't know somebody love you, you struggling that nobody loves you, Sister Hunter loves you. Yes. Right? Sister Hunter, that's all you need is a little bit of love, right? Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and what's going to happen? He shall direct your paths. Here we go. Do not be wise in your own eyes. I'm going to read that again. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh. Mighty God. And strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase. Now here's the result of it. So you see, every section comes with a blessing. So your barns will be what? Who wants your barn to be full? Come on, who wants your barn to be full? Some of you are not sure. That means your bank account. That means your cupboards. Right? So shall your barns be filled with how much? My God. And your vats will overflow with new wine. My God. Does that sound good? Sounds like a good deal. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you do a great work in us today. I pray you'll talk to us. Ah, Robokosierebeshiadavasata. Talk to us today. Talk to us. Talk to us. We want to hear your voice. We want directions. We want you to lead us. We want you to guide us. And we want you to empower us by your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we give you all the glory. And we give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, I open up this year with a sermon, Seek First the Kingdom. All right, let's bring the mics on, guys. Just follow, right? And I was talking, it spoke so much in that sermon about obedience to God. And in the kingdom, if you're going to flourish in the kingdom, it requires obedience. Hello? It requires obedience. In the world, the concept of obedience is challenged. The concept of obedience is challenged. Nobody want to listen to their parents. Nobody want to follow the rules. If you drive on the road, people break the rules, right? People break the rules. If they say, don't take pictures in this room, you have a desire to pull out your camera and challenge the rule. Anybody ever went through immigration and it says, no pictures? But when you see that sign, you're like, man, I want to take a picture. Right? Yeah. Because the concept of obedience, because something happened to us many years ago. God said to Adam and Eve, all the fruit of the garden or all the trees of the garden you may eat from, except this one. And what happened? The devil weaseled himself in and spoke to them. And as a result, what did they do? They gave in to the devil. As a result of them giving in to the devil, all our wiring got messed up. So what was supposed to be easy, which is obedience to God, now becomes difficult. And God has to write all these scriptures to us concerning obeying God, which should have been the default position, where we are obedient to God, where we are going after God. But what happened? Sin came in and messed it up. What brought sin? Disobedience. So now the solution is obedience. Disobedience brought a problem, and the greatest problem of all, which is sin. But how do we get back on track? We get back on track when we obey God. So here the word says in verse 7, or let's go to verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord how? With all your heart. Now, many of us, you may have been coming to church for 20, 30 years, but you still have a little bit of all your heart syndrome. Look at Pastor Sam, okay? The problem is, those guys are very attractive. Why are they running to the front when pastor's preaching? What are they up to, right? But yeah, it says how? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, can I tell you that none of us can do this without the help of the Spirit of God? The mistake we make is to try to do it on our own. I'm going to be a good Christian. You failed already. Because none of us can do it. The Bible says, to as many as receive him, to them who gives power, he gives power. It's not you working up the strength from within. It's not you working up the belief to say, I'm going to serve God and I'm going to live for God. No, in this walk, you have to walk by his strength. You have to walk with his help. You have to walk by your side. I'll say that again. You have to walk with him by your side. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am going to the Father, but I'm going to send you a helper. Yes, come on. What am I going to send you? A helper. Who? A helper. Well, he's actually called the helper. I'm going to send you the helper. He's also the comforter, who is the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says he will never leave you, but he will lead you. He will never leave you, but he will lead you. He will lead you into the love of God. He'll lead you into the peace of God. He will lead you into the joy of the Lord. He will lead you into the rest of God. He will lead you into the power of God. He will lead you into the anointing of God. He will lead you into the freedom of God. So, now the help comes from who? The Holy Spirit. So now trust in the Lord. Trust means to rely. Yes. Now, it also means to give up every previous thing. Trust, to rely on, but also to give up what you previously relied on. Because you can't trust in two things at one time. You can't have two husbands. The men them try to have two women. But two can't be wife. One is wife and one is something else. Isn't it true? Yes. You can't have two wives. Even the legal system knows that you can't have two wives, right? And even if you try it, let me tell you the story. The man by the name of Solomon says, I've tried it. And at the end of it, all is vanity of vanities. All is emptiness. All is emptiness. Vanity, that means it is empty. And vexation of spirit. It's you having your desires misplaced and finding rest in things that do not satisfy, which only leaves you restless. All his vanities are vanities and vexation of spirit. So trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? How much is God looking for? All your heart. Lean not on your own. You see, sometimes we say we can do it our way. I can serve God how I want. But here God goes back. It says, do not be wise. Verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't come up with your form of obedience. Don't come up with your form or formula for walking with God. No, take the help that God has given to you. You have come into the rest of Christ. He says, now that you're in Christ, walk in him. Receive the help. Receive the blessing. Receive the joy. Receive the aid that comes from the Holy Ghost. Amen? Hallelujah. But do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Now, this is not talking about being scared of God. This is talking about your having reverent awe. When you think about God, it's like you want to fall on your face. When you think of how holy God is, how awesome God is. The word awe is where we get the word awesome, right? How awesome it is. It's like you cannot even put word to it. So you stand in awe. It's like you're blown. You are blown. You are blown away by the presence of God. So when we consider who this God we serve, you know the Bible says in John chapter 1, all things were made by him. This is Jesus. And without him, nothing was made that was made. So when you're worshiping God, take a moment and say, Lord, thank you for making the sky. Thank you, Lord, for drawing the boundaries of the sea. Thank you, God, that you caused the bird to fly. You caused the tree to grow. You put seed in the ground. You put seed in the ground that forests can grow. Nobody went and planted forests. You ever met the man that planted the forest? We showed up and the forest was there. You know why? God put the seed in the ground. So when you're worshiping God, stand in awe. This God is amazing. Amen. This God is not common. This God is not a tree. This God is not a carved image. This God is not a thought of a man that he said, let's make this God. No. So when we worship God, we stand in awe of him. So he said, do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord. Stand in awe. You know, can I tell you, it will make your worship different? Because remember, Jesus said to the woman at the well, you know not what you worship. If you know what you worship, you're going to worship a certain way. But if you don't know what you worship, you're going to worship anyhow and anyway. So you have to know. That's why we have to have an encounter with Jesus. He lives in your heart. So when you're worshiping, worship flows out of your heart to God. Amen? Good. So in reverent awe. So now he says, fear the Lord. When you think of God, you say, oh my God, he's worthy of my worship. He's worthy of my praise. He's worthy of my time. He's worthy of my resources. He's worthy of my possessions, everything, because all things were made by him. Even I myself was made by him in his image and in his likeness. You know, sometimes we feel so smart and we feel so intelligent. You know where you got it from? His likeness. His likeness. He's the all-knowing God. He's the one that knows the end from the beginning. So if you ever think that you're so smart and you become lifted up and full of pride, I want to tell you, you're making a mistake. I say you're making a mistake. You are like your heavenly Father. So you ought to give him praise. Say, God, thank you that you have made me smart. Thank you that you have given me wisdom. Thank you that you have given me knowledge. Thank you that I have a brain that can function and I can use it to bring glory to you. Amen? You know, many people use the gifts of God not only for themselves, to abuse others. You think thieves are not smart? Thief man, smart, bad. They watch you when you leave your home. They observe and they don't come steal first day. That's a brave thief man. He has to have all kind of gun and all kind of thing. But the average thief observes you, watch you going in, watch you coming out, watch where you park, all kinds of stuff. And then when you're not there, they attack. You know what that is? Using their knowledge and their wisdom for evil. But here the word of God says, fear the Lord and what? Depart. Fear the Lord and exit evil. You should not be having not evil thoughts. Thoughts are going to come. But what you do with the thoughts when they come. You should not be conspiring for evil. You should not be sitting and planning how to rob a brother. You know, the church people are very nice. I'm going to go to the church and I'm going to act poor. I'm going to go to the church and I'm going to tell the pastor of the church I need my bus fare. And when you reach the church just outside, I need a bus fare. And then you read the other man down the corner there, I need a bus fare. What are you doing there? Conspiring evil. But what does God say? Depart from evil. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say, I'm going to depart from evil. So the fear is honoring, standing in awe of God. Not the fear, you know, everybody's afraid of ice these days. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Everybody's afraid of ice. Everybody think ice is going to come and get them. Not everybody, a lot of people. But I want to tell you something today. Listen to me, this is serious business now. The Bible said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now, God wants us to fear him, stand in awe of him, but he doesn't want us to fear evil. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie in green pasture, lead me by still water. He restores my soul. What? He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk. What's going to happen? I shall fear how much evil? No. How much evil? No. No evil. So guys, do not be afraid. Let me tell you a secret. Pray for the president. If you want favor with somebody, pray for the person. If you want a specific job, don't you pray? If you want a certain raise, don't you pray? This lady wanted to move. She said, best we didn't leave Jamaica, but somebody told her a better way. Write it on the wall and pray towards it. And what happened? It came true. So I want to tell you, don't fear evil. Pray. Because your Bible tells you, pray for kings. Pray for those who are in authority. Why, when the thing come to hit home, you're going to do contrary to God? No, we're called to obey God in every season of our life, in every situation in our life. So not because you don't like, hold on, it's a law that's being enforced. It's not a new law. Let me help here now. It's not a new law. It was there. It's just that it wasn't enforced. So now you got to pray for favor with the government. So instead of worrying that you're going to go home, pray that you're going to get your papers. Let me help you. Hold on. Don't go too fast. New Year's Eve. Anybody remember New Year's Eve? Yes. What happened New Year's Eve? What did the Spirit of God say? Call up those who need their documents. So what, you think God is not concerned about you? Tell the devil he's a liar. We already fixed him before he even raised. I said we already fixed him before he even raised his head. Before it even happened, God had us fix it. So why aren't you celebrating? You miss it. We cannot get consumed. We cannot get consumed. We must understand that we're a part of a kingdom. We're part of the kingdom of God. It says 1,000 shall fall on your right, 10,000 on your left, but it shall not come nigh your dwelling. Isn't that what the word says? Are you going to believe it? Or only when are you fair weather Christians? It's easy to be a fair weather Christian when everything is good and dandy. You're praising God. But the moment a little pressure, Jesus said, in this life you will have many trials and tribulation. But it says what? Oh my God, yes, that's what it says. The word of God instructs us to be of good cheer. The word of God instructs you to take heart even in adversity. For I have overcome the world. Jesus has already dealt with the thing. So now you have to walk with the understanding that he has dealt with it and you are victorious. Somebody shout, I'm victorious. Come on, somebody shout, I'm victorious. So, we're not going to fear. We refuse fear because before you know it, you're going to have high blood pressure. Come on. Your stress level is going to go up. Your sugar is going to act up. You're going to become isolated. When God called you to fellowship, the Bible said they continued in fellowship daily. How? Daily. 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 So we're not going to worry. We're going to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And we're not going to lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways we're going to acknowledge him. And what he's going to do, he's going to direct your path, he's going to direct your foot. And he said he will grab your foot out of the net. Any trap the devil set for you, he will grab your foot out. Say, my feet are being snatched from every net. Say, I will not fall in the net of the enemy, in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord praise. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. So, depart means to turn away entirely. Now, I want to help you. Sometimes we're so worried about not being evil that we forget that we're supposed to follow Jesus. You're so worried about not sinning, and you forget that you're supposed to obey the Lord. If we obey God, automatically we are not sinning. Thanks for coming. God bless you. This man helping me to preach. Yeah, automatically we are not what? Sinning. So instead of looking at what I shouldn't do, look at what you should do. Because it's in what you should do lies the blessing. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in all your understanding. What will he do? He will direct your path. Hallelujah. He will direct your path. So the moment you say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to follow you, you're automatically you're saying no to evil. Because now he's going to give you the power which you lacked before. That's why you could not have done the thing. But now you have the power, or you have the ability. You have ability. And the devil, not only you know it, the devil knows it. The devil knows it. So when you resist him, he's going to flee. Before, you can try to shake him. You want a thief, you can't help yourself. You're thiefing nonstop. Hey guys, I trust you're enjoying today's sermon and you're being inspired. Would you just go ahead and hit that subscribe button, hit the like button, maybe even hit the share button. Get this word to someone you know that may need it. And also, would you consider becoming a monthly partner with us at Faith Church? We're looking for people with like-minded and like passion that would help us to push the work of God forward. Consider giving a financial contribution to Faith Church to push the vision forward. Let's get back to the program. God bless you. You go into the store, you thief candy. You thief seasoning. True. I used to work at Walgreens. And you know who would thief more than anybody? The old ladies. The old ladies, and their pictures are already on the wall. So when they come, you say, oh, here you are again. They thief Advil, Excedrin, little things. They steal it. Why? Because they have not purpose in their heart to obey God. And they are not getting the help of God. Because now, as a child of God, when you go to thief, what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit within you now is going to say, You remember, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So you're like, Advil? I can't afford it today, but God will make a way. You hearing me? I can't afford it today, but God will make a way. Where there seems to be no way, he's going to open doors and he's going to bless you. But how are you able to do that? Because you said yes to Jesus. So now he empowers you. You got to understand, I told the people on Friday, I said, you got to have an attitude of power. You have to have an attitude of power. You know, sometimes we walk around so frail when God has empowered us with his spirit. He said, I'm not giving the spirit of fear and timidity, but of what? Power. The ability to make the impossible happen. The ability to rise when there was no hope for you and your family. God turns it around because what? His power is greater than any other. The Bible says he is the name that is above every other name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall come. You see, if you don't walk with the knowing, you wouldn't see manifestation. Did he write that down? If you don't walk with the knowing, you will not see manifestation. You will not see the manifest power of God in your life if you don't have proper understanding. Amen? Proper understanding. Okay. Obedience brings what? Longevity. In verse 8, it says it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Deuteronomy 6:2 says, so that you and your children and grandchildren may fear the Lord your God all the days of your lives by keeping all his statutes and commandments that I give you, so that your days may be what? Prolonged. If you want long life, obey God. Be obedient to God's word and you will be blessed with long life. When you disobey the word of God, you open yourself for the enemy to come in. You obey because what? He is the father of lies. He's the father of disobedience. So when you see disobedience, he gets excited. He gets excited. He comes in and he works his works, right? As a result of disobedience, what happened to Adam and Eve? They were put out of the garden. They cut off fellowship with God. They cut off the blessings that flowed from God. You know, we were not supposed to meant to die. We were supposed to live forever. None of us were supposed to die. None of us were supposed to buy casket. No, some of you are not going to even buy a casket. Your family going to buy it for you. Like, praise the Lord, I ain't buying no casket. When I die, let them figure it out. You ever hear people say that? Let me dead, you do what you want with me. I ain't leaving no money behind. Too bad. That's what they're going to do. Anything with you. Burn you. Right? Or leave you down at the mark. And when they said, do you know him? Like, uh-uh. No. Yeah. But when we obey God, there comes a long life. Long days. We are blessed. And our days, we are satisfied. You're seeing miracles in your 50s. You're seeing miracles in your 60s. You're seeing miracles in your 70s. You're seeing miracles in your 80s. Because what? You are obedient to the Lord. All right, let's go. Now, verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with what? Your possessions. With your what? And with the first fruit of all your increase. All right. Now, this is where sometimes we get into problem. You can say, God, Pastor, I'm coming to church. Pastor, I'm going to praise God. Pastor, I'm going to sing. Pastor, I'm going to worship. But I'm not going to give God anything. Now, this is where this title comes in. Stomp on Mammon. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You're going to either what? Love one or you're going to hate the other one. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to what? The one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and Mammon. Now, God has blessed us bountifully. God has blessed every one of us that is sitting in this room. And whatever measure he has blessed you with, it is expected for you to measure him in that same, to honor him in that same measure. Did I say you get that right? Whatever measure he has blessed you with, he expects you to honor. If he has blessed you with $5, $5 got to glorify God. If he has blessed you with $10, in that $10 you can glorify God. If he has blessed you with $1 million now, in that $1 million you still have to what? Glorify and honor the Lord. So the word says, how must we honor the Lord? With your possession. Now we spoke about this a little last week. If you have a car, should your car honor God? Yeah. Your car should honor God. You should use your car to drive to church. You shouldn't just use your car to go to the mall. You know, some people say, oh, can I have a ride to church on Sunday? And they have the car park up. But all week you're going to work with your car. All week you are going to the mall with your car. All week you're going to the casino with your car. No, I don't think so. I'm just kidding. You guys are holy. Right? Yeah, but no, whatever we are blessed with, it honors God. How can you use your car to honor God? You can give somebody a ride somewhere. You can use your car to do good. Let the goodness of God that is in your heart be manifested. Sister Hunter said, if you have something and you can be a blessing to someone, be a blessing. Don't withhold it. Amen? Use it to bring honor to God. And everything that we own must honor God. Everything. You got a nice hair dryer that does fancy hair drying. You know, they have the Dyson hair dryers and they got the Shark. I got a lot of daughters, so I know all these things, right? For those who are here for the first time, we have 3 daughters and I have a wife. You see her hair is straight, right? So she didn't wake up like that. She blew it out. But if you see somebody here look like it needs a blow, won't you come and say, man, I got something that could help you here? Whatever we have, let's not limit it. Because God looks at you. He said, with all your possession. Now, you're not going to give them to break it. Now, let me help you now. You know, you know somebody's a reckless driver. You're not going to say, come drive my car. Would you give a ridiculous person to babysit your child? No. So it's the same way, baby. Don't mess with my 4 wheels. That's my baby too, right? So you got to know you use wisdom in everything, but you still use what you have to be a blessing. Because you don't know what burden you're going to lift off of someone. Sometimes we say, oh, it's not making a big difference. But you don't know the impact that you're making for the kingdom of God. And then the light of Christ shines through you. You know what Jesus said? I was in prison and no one visited me. I was naked and nobody clothed me. I was hungry and no one gave me to eat. I was thirsty and no one gave me to drink. And he said, Lord, when did that happen? He said, whatever you do to any of the little one, you do it as unto me. So whatever you are blessed with, turn it around and make it a blessing. Whatever you are blessed with, turn. You got time? Find out. Can I help you do something? You see an elderly in the church? Can I help you this week with something? Come on. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where our faith is tested. You see somebody coming to church in rags, and instead of you turning your nose up at them, say, can I buy you a piece of clothes? That is you honoring God. Because whatever you do to someone, you do it as unto the Lord. Amen? When you give somebody a ride home after church, you see a sister standing at the bus stop. You say, what direction you're going? I'm going this way. Can I take you? Maybe if they're going the opposite direction, I give you a little break there. Right? But if you're going in the same direction, give them a ride. And maybe you don't got nothing on your agenda. You could ease their burden. Do some good, man. Give them a ride. Amen. Even if it's the other direction. Listen, Jesus went all the way to Calvary for you and me. He didn't consider the pain, the suffering, and sometimes so little things you can do to make somebody's life a blessing, but yet we don't do it because what? We're like, I'm not going in that direction. I'm not going out of my way. It says if you want to be great in this kingdom, you got to become servants of all. I say that again. If you're going to be great in this kingdom, you got to learn to be what? Servants. Even the Bible says, even Jesus did not come to be served. But he came to what? Serve others. Amen? Come on, look at somebody and say, I'm a servant. Tell him, I am a servant. Hallelujah. So, all that we have must bring glory to God. But the spirit of mammon comes and tell you, nobody can come in my car. Nobody can use my hair dryer. Well, I don't know if she got dandruff. Or creepy crawlies in her hair. There's something called soap and water. Soap and water can wash it. Isn't that true? After they do the craziest surgery in the hospital, what they going to do? Wash their hands. They wash their hands. Amen? So things, listen, don't let things get to you. But the spirit of mammon comes and takes the place of God in your life. And it tells you, it builds up false security in you. False security. Where you think that if you have this car and this car is working well, everything is beautiful and great, your life is going to be better. That's the devil. If my house, oh, nobody can come to my house. My house is too clean. I'm not talking about Pastor Dahl. Right? No, but I'm saying, you know, sometimes we take these things, but there's a spirit that works behind it. It is not just a thought. It's the enemy looking for your allegiance. True things. And the things that you own become an idol. Some people take their children and make them idols. Their children are worth more than anything. I'm not trying to say children are valuable or priceless. But some people, it's like, man, like, oh my God. I don't know how to explain it. But you see some people do it. The way these kids are like, they're untouchable. I'm not talking about protecting your children, covering your children, but like God, they, oh God, it's disgusting. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. If you live more than 30 years, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. The children becomes an idol. It's all about this child. All, everything revolves, especially maybe they have one, worse yet. No, nothing should take the place of God. Nothing. Even your children are loaned to you by God. The Bible says children are an heritage or an inheritance of God. You care them, love them, treat them well, have the best for them and everything, but don't let them come between you and God. And don't let them make you mistreat other people. Are you tracking with me? So everything must have a boundary. Whatever you are blessed with, it must not take the place of God. Mammon comes, the spirit of Mammon comes and tell you that money is more important than God. Riches is more important than God. Possession is more important than God. And it gives you false security. Oh, let me tell you this one. Turn this mic up a little so I don't have to shout too much. I had a neighbor named Ranobai. Ranobai. Ranobai, for in our day growing up, whenever someone had a car, it was like a big thing, right? Anybody came from third world country? Whenever you got a car, you're like a somebody up in society. So Ranobai went out drinking. And he had a machine shop, so he was a famous guy, right? And this is Williamsburg, so if anybody could put 2 cents together, you'd probably know. But he had a machine shop. So eventually, you know, he kind of got some money and stuff, and he got a car. One day, him and his friend went out to drink. And they drank, got drunk, drove the car home. No, not drove the car home. On their way home, they crashed. His friend died. Ranobai is sitting crying, not for his friend. He's crying for the car. Crying for the car. You know what eventually happened to him? His wife left him. His kids left him. Went to Canada. He got so low in life. Poor. He signed over his house to the neighbor to just give him food until he died. He died probably in his late 40s, early 50s. Dead. Why? He didn't honor God with what he have. The things of life were so valuable to him. I want to warn you, when we read this word to you and we tell you God's way, it's the way that would save you from death. And it will give you long life and satisfy you. The neighbor owns his house now. If any of you come to Guyana with me on a mission trip, remind me to show you where Ranobai live. And you will get how to know how true the story is. But yeah, everything that we have, everything that we're blessed with. Let's read back that scripture. It says, honor the Lord with how much of your possession? All. And with the first fruit of how? All your increase. Now, this is where it comes in, where we talk about whatever we're given to God, given by God. Let me get my thoughts back here. This speaks of continuation. How must we honor God? Bring that scripture back. With all of your what? Increase. This is the year of what? More and more. God will increase us more and more. But in your increase, the first fruit or the first tenth. First fruit is the first tenth. Whatever you are increased financially with, the first 10 belongs to God. Yes. Now, what happens is we say, oh man, I'm getting my tax return. Do I have to give tithes on that? Yeah. Whatever increase you get in. You get a $10 raise at work, just 10% God asks for. $1 belongs to God. Amen? God doesn't say, give me 90 and keep 10. That's the devil's way. Right? Because the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he says that the first 10. How do we know that money does not have a hold on us? Is when we can release it to God. When we can faithfully release money to God. Or if you're not able to release your 10 to God, the spirit of Mammon, sometimes it's not just you. You're like, I just can't give my tithe. No, it's not you. It's the spirit of Mammon that is working in the background and that is telling you, if you give God your 10th, you can buy bread. You can pay your rent. You can do this. You can do that. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Bring me Malachi 3. Let me show you what God promised us. Malachi chapter 3 verse what? 18, I believe. Pull it up. And we'll read it together. The spirit of mammon comes to give you a false sense of security. He demands your allegiance and your devotion. All right, no, that's not it. Somebody, Malachi, go through. Okay, there we go. 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be what? Food or meat in my house. Right? And try me now. Hold on. Try me. You know, this is the only scripture where God allows man to test them. In all of the word, this is the only area where we are allowed to test God. In 2025, I want you to test God. Yes. I said in 25, I want you to test God. And maybe you have never had victory in this area and you are struggling. I want you to get the blessing. Let's go. That there might be what? Food in my house. And try me in this. Next. Says the Lord of hosts. Who says it? The Lord of hosts means the God of angels' army. The one who commands. The one who commands the armies of heaven. If I will not open for who? Me. For who? For me, the windows of heaven and what? What will God do? He didn't say that I'm going to give you drops. No, this is drops. That's many drops, right? Drops. Let me show you drops. Let me try to do a drop, guys. There's different sizes of drops, right? It's hard to do drops when you're anointed to pour. When you live by the pouring of God. Let me give you a drop. Man, this drop thing is not easy. That's a drop. Who wants that? Who wants that? No, God says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pour you. I'm going to open the windows of heaven. And I'm going to pour. Amen. Who wants pour? Yeah. I will pour you a blessing that you will not have what? Room enough to what? Receive it. So automatically now, you got to start giving away. Hello? You're going to have to now give away because you are so blessed. Who wants to give away? That's right. We want to be so blessed. He said to Abraham, I will bless you. And what next? I will make you a blessing. I don't want this church to be the ones looking for a handout. We want to be the one giving the handout. Hello? We want to be the ones giving the handout. You know, last year we raised money to paint a church in Guyana. You guys remember when we did that? Guys, if you look in the email, there's some pictures there in the Faith Church email. There's 3 pictures. Put them up. The pastor sent me the pictures that they painted their building. You know what? You and I did that. We weren't looking for someone to come help us paint our building. We're like, let's us find somebody and help them to paint their building. Come on, somebody. Give God praise for that. He said, I will bless you and I'll make you a blessing. There will not be room enough to receive it. But the spirit of mammon comes and say, no. Hold on to what you have for as long as you have. As long as you can. Amen? But that's not what God says. There we go. All right. Praise God. You guys saw the pictures? There we go. The building had no paint. Now the building has pain. Praise the Lord. Give God praise. Amen. 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 That's us having an impact. Having an impact, not only where we are, but internationally. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, what does the next scripture says? Honor the Lord with what? All your increase. Bring the scripture back, guys, and then let's go to the next verse. There's a blessing. Let's read it together. Honor the Lord with what? Your possessions. With the first fruit of what? How much of your increase? All of your increase. And look what happens as a result. So your barns will be filled with how much? Plenty. How much? Plenty. How much? Plenty. How much? Plenty. And your vats will overflow with new wine. Meaning there will always be new things added. unending blessings. Amen. So you don't have to say, oh, I'm retired, I got to live by this budget. No, you say, God, I don't live by this budget. I live according to your riches and glory. Because he promised that new wine will be added to you. Listen, we're not in a limited kingdom. We are in an unlimited kingdom today. What is impossible with man is possible with God Almighty. You do not serve a weak God. You serve the God of angels' armies. But here's a caution. 1 Timothy 6:17 to 19 says, instruct those who are rich in this present age not to be conceited and not to put their hope in the uncertainty of wealth, but in God who what? Richly. How does God provide? Richly. How does God provide? Richly provides how many things? All things for us to enjoy. Why does God bless you? Because God wants you to have a good life. God wants you to have an enjoyable life. God wants you to wake up in the morning, brush your teeth, set your hair, have a shower, and say, my God, what a good day we're going to have today. I'm going to go and I'm going to eat some good food today. Who likes good food? He said, I'll satisfy your mouth with what? Good things. So that your youth is what? Renewed. You know, God wants you to have anti-aging. Yeah, he has an anti-aging agenda. The devil comes to steal your youth. The devil comes to steal your youth and to abuse you. But what Jesus said, I am come that you might have life. What kind of life? Life. The God kind of life. And how he wants you to have it? In great amounts, in abundance. So what? He's going to renew you. He's going to refresh you. My God, you look at some people in this room and you find out their age, you'll never believe. You see that lady that was up here? She's over 70 years old. Who gives her that strength? Listen, I lost $100 over your age a couple of months ago. Pastor Dolly bet me. And Pastor Dolly's bad, you know. She know the lady's over 70. I told her, no. I said, I'm going to bet you $100 that Sister Hunter is 64 years old. I couldn't believe she's that old. I lost $100. May I tell you, Brother Victor's doing a good job. But yeah, who does that? It is God. It is God that renews the youth. Amen? Come on, somebody believe God for that. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is a root of how much? All kinds of evil. We are to love the Lord with all our hearts. We're not to love money. We're thankful for money. We're grateful for money. We're grateful that God has released it into our hands. But we don't love money. Because if you love money, that means your allegiance is to money. Your honor is to money. Your worship is to money. You see, Ranobai, he worshipped the car, the possession, the wealth that he had. And at the end of his life was destruction. I want to tell you today, love God with all your heart. Obey God and honor God with whatever he has blessed you with. Right? Because how will he pour to you? He will richly supply all that you need. Welcome back, guys. I trust that you enjoyed today's sermon and that you are ready to take action. Don't just hear the word, but put the word to practice. Remember to connect with us on all of our social media platforms. We're on Instagram, YouTube, Threads, TikTok. Just come on over there and follow us. And remember to subscribe to this channel so that you'll get your notifications every time we either go live or we upload new content. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for those that are watching right now. I pray, Lord, that you'll touch them and you will encourage them. I pray as they've heard the word, they will take action in Jesus' name and their lives will never be the same. Amen.